Come and home from the don't know. Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. Mrs. Terrible Tommy in the heartland, in the bunker. Yeah, and that's Insurgent International. We're inviting all you other countries to start making MP3s and send them in here. We'll put them on the radio. Yeah, we got our good friend Derek McThomas down there sending us some good stuff from Australia. Well, we need stuff. What the hell's the matter with the UK? Now, you, I know you got the different laws and things like that over there, but you know, you could make a show anonymously about the what's going on over there, and you could either send it MP3 or put it on a cassette tape and send it to me, and I'll put it on. So they don't. There's no problem there. So, and all these other countries, you know, that could put something in English and send it to me. What the hell's going on? You know, the internet's fine, but once in a while, it's nice to hear a voice, a live person out there. And this is February the 13th, 2009, Freya's Day, Friday. Yeah, coming up on the big hoochie coochie kissy kissy. Yeah. Day, Valentine's Day. But don't go nuts, because you know how the Jew marketers promote everything, you know. In fact, I guess this was probably created by some big store. Somebody said started this whole Valentine thing, you know. It never was way back, so they sell a lot of stuff to the dummies. Well, just be nice to your gal. You know, a dinner and a dance and a movie. Write her a nice letter or something like that. So, anyhow. Flowers are okay, but, you know, that's... don't do just like everybody else does, okay? All right, here we go. And I see that... what the hell was his name? Commerce? The Republicrat that was going to go and work with the Niglet in the Commerce Department? He quit. Yeah, they're talking about a lot on TV, but I had USA Today here, and it didn't say I didn't see anything on the front page. Maybe it was yesterday, and it's long forgotten. But now, didn't that sort of smell? Don't you think that might have been the plan from the very beginning? you know, the Republicans are not very good on, like a football team, they're not very good on defense. But they're pretty damn good on offense. And I think they had a backroom deal with that guy, and he probably had it set up from the very beginning. Yeah. And after, 23 days of Obama's presidency, and it's already getting shaky as hell, man. Yeah, he's learning that getting out of the field there and getting up into the house and being a house nigga ain't all it's cracked up to be. He had Mater D in the house up there with the master, and he is finding it's a little tough. A little tough. So the Commerce Department, that's pretty well shot. You see, what Obama's doing, he is taking a lot of important areas of the government and putting them under himself. Like Bush did. Same thing Bush did. So it's going to be another imperial presidency. And won't that be fun? Well, I see they caught a guy down there in Australia. An arson suspect. Probably there's a lot more of them. But I wonder what race he's going to end up being. Well, he could be a white tweaker. White drug head. But he could also be one of the thousands of non-whites pouring into poor old Australia. Yeah, Australian authorities charged a man Friday with arson, causing the death in connection with one of a swarm of wildfires, which killed more than 181 people and destroyed hundreds of homes. The unidentified man was arrested in a country town in Victoria, the southeast state ravaged by fires last weekend, and moved to state capital Melbourne for his own safety, police said. Well, who in the hell cares about his safety? They should have done him in right there on the spot. He was charged with arson, causing death intentionally or recklessly, lighting a bushfire, and possessing child pornography. police said in a statement. You know, I almost believe this guy's probably white, you know, running around with child pornography in his pocket and lighting fires. And I'll bet he liked the drugs. Well, we'll see. We'll wait till our show comes in here from Australia calling, see what really went on. Well, I talked to you yesterday about this L.A. Lake County police officer down in Florida, I guess it was, who resigned amid a probe into his association with the Ku Klux Klan, should lose his law enforcement certification, his former boss said Wednesday. Fruitland Park Police Chief J.M. Isom said he petitioned the Florida Department of Law Enforcement this week to revoke James Elkins' certification. He alleged Elkins is no longer fit to serve as a police officer. Well, of course not. He supports white people. He likes white people. Can't have a cop like that. Not only because of his involvement with a hate group, but because he lied to the chief under oath. Uh-oh. Why didn't he take the fifth? These cops are stupid, too. Five words, Mr. Cop Man. Isom began a probe of Elkins, 28 years old, last month when Sumter County authorities notified the chief that a post office box in the officer's name in Bushnell was listed as a mail point on a recruitment flyer for the United Northern and Southern Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. Last week, photos of Elkins in a Klan gown and hood and police badge surfaced. Boy, this guy did everything wrong. The Lake County Sheriff's Office also provided Isom with documents indicating Elkins became a Klansman on December 2006 and was appointed a district legal of the National Area Knights of the Ku Klux Klan in April 2007. A Klegel serves as a recruiter for a KKK chapter, according to Mark Potok, director of the Southern Millionaires Law Center Intelligence Project. You know what their intelligence project is? They clip articles out of the paper. That's 90% of the Southern Millionaires Law Center's intelligence project is simply clipping articles out of the paper and then jumping on it and then they're approached by all the news media around the country to comment on that, and they talk like they found it out. Yeah, once in a while they've got an informant, but most of the time that's all they do is clip, and the press, the stupid press or bought press, run right to them. Oh, Mark, what do you know about that? Oh, we know about that. We know about that guy. We've been watching him for months. Yeah. Yeah, and then they just read from the articles that have been in the paper. And then the press say, oh, my God, Moss Days and Mark Potok, they're the smartest guys around, boy. They're even smarter than the FBI. Anyhow, if any of you people out there know anybody like this, that's especially in a position that they could do some good for us, that's crazy enough to be talked into being a recruiter for the KKK, or even being a member, or even going to a meeting, or even writing letters to them, please tell them about Lone Wolf. Now, here's a guy, 28 years old, he's probably married, got a couple of kids, maybe trying to buy a house and the whole bit. His job is gone. His law enforcement career is gone, and it's just such a waste. It's such a waste. But at least he knows you can't trust that your brother's under the blue. Your brothers in blue or tan can't be trusted. If you're a cop, you're a federal agent, if you're anything like that, you know, if you carry racial ideas in your mind and think straight, you can't trust anyone around you where you work. So be extremely careful and keep your big pie hole shut. Well, I ran across a blog for a fellow quoted me and liked the way we operate and listens to what I say. He ran a letter from a disgruntled activist, white activist, who had been around for about 7 years in the right wing and quit and then he wrote this letter, of which I'm going to read it because a hell of a lot of it is true, especially in the right wing. Quote, "Nearly 7 years of being in the pro-white movement, I feel it's time to retire. After taking the last month and a half to think things over, I have come to the conclusion that the entire pro-white movement is a joke. In my 7 years worth of experience, I've never witnessed anything good from it. Instead, I've met the biggest group of hypocrites, backstabbers, and antisocial misfits one could ever come across. I have much better things to do with my time, energy, and money. I have met enough oddballs in this pro-white to know walking away is the right thing to do. Never in my mind have I met a group of mentally ill, white trash, and antisocial group of scumbags in my life. It's amazing that so many of these people exist. I think back and one thought kept coming up. Who has attacked me the past few years? No, it wasn't the Jew, the non-white, or other so-called enemies of my race. It has been my own people. The Randy Grays, the Matthew Ramseys, McKinley Mitchells, and Matt Roberts of the world are the ones who have stalked me, harassed me, and threatened me. I don't know any of these fellows, so I can't speak really for them. It wasn't one people's project, the SPLC, ARA, I had to worry about. Instead, it was my own people that attacked me. The number of whores, closet homosexuals, liars I've met within the pro-white movement is something I can do without. These people do not do nothing useful. Not only are they a total disgrace to the white race, but a total disgrace to all mankind. Walking away from these people won't be hard. With that said, I am not joining some ARA group like, say, Erica Hardwick did. As for Bill White, I can say this. He will not be set free. And after being questioned by the FBI, I can see why. Bill White did break the law, and I regret now that I stood behind him after his arrest. I believe in free speech and don't believe that Bill should be held for jury tampering. With that said, he did break other laws. He stated on live radio that people should kill Richard Warman. He didn't say he hoped he died or that he wished the man died. Bill clearly said to kill him and gave out his address. Bill also told the news in Tampa that he wished a crazy would kill Leonard Pitts and the people in the newsroom. Bill also asked me to hide evidence during one of his many investigations. Also illegal, and yes, the FBI knows all about it. No, I didn't snitch on Bill White. The FBI had the call taped. Every group I have joined has been a complete failure. So below, I am going to take the time to name the groups and give some facts and personal eyewitness accounts of each. Enjoy. Imperial Clans of America, IKA, was the first group I ever joined, led by Ron Edwards and the national headquarters based out of my home state of Kentucky. This group was a joke. I met men who beat women and countless number of drunks. Most of the members were high school dropouts or people of low education. Ron was jobless while his wife was working paying the bills. What a tough white man. Once I quit, members of the IKA harassed me for the next few years. Lucky the IKA recently lost a $2.5 million lawsuit and will no longer be a factor. Wait, they haven't been a factor for the past 2 years anyway. White Revolution? I stayed in this group for a quick 2 months, knowing that people within this group was enough to make anyone with an IQ over 80 quit. You had Mark Martin, which is laughable, some 400 girl from Arizona that seemed to stalk Mark Martin, also funny. A mentally ill man in Kentucky who blew his brains out. Their South Carolina leader, Billy Brown, dated a girl with mixed race children. I mean, I could go on, but I think you get the point. Oh yeah, Billy Roper was their leader. Enough said. Well, here again, I'm not picking on these people he mentions individually, except the ones I do know of. So I'll reserve comment on that. But, okay, now he's talking about the Knights Party, led by career con man Tom Robb. Well, I can comment that Tom Robb is a career con man. Tom Metzger says that on International Pan-Aryan Radio. like money-making preachers you see on television, Pastor Rob will sell you a $350 brick for a white Christian revival. Other words, the money goes in his wallet. For a Christian, I question the people I met within this group. Richard Hensley of headquarters staff and David Barnett of North Carolina were divorced, a sin last time I checked by my Bible. Well, I wouldn't go that far. I don't like divorce either, but sometimes it happens, and I don't think we can hold people to be bad people just because they ended up in a divorce. A guy named Phil was a former pot dealer. Well, as long as he was a former, I won't judge him on that either. It's what he is now. A woman from New York wore an upside-down cross symbol of Satan. Well, the Christians created Satan. I mean, you know, so I don't know what to say about that. Randy Gray, a high school dropout, seems to have a homosexual fixation on me, which is very sick and disturbing, to say the least. Well, unless he has actually made a physical move in a sexual way, I don't think you can say that. You can have suspicions. You can have feelings. And I know what you mean. But still, if the guy didn't really make a physical play for you, then that's not really very credible. Okay, the American National Socialist Workers Party. At first, we did great activism. The last few months, I realized we only went to... Look, let me say a little bit more of Tom Robb. Tom Robb is the guy who said that Bob Matthews got what he deserved. And he was also the guy that, along with Dr. Fields of the old Thunderbolt and the National States Rights Party, and a couple of other guys, one or maybe two guys in leadership, that when we had a support group at Fort Smith, Arkansas, to support all the guys that were being charged with, not treason, but close to it, sedition, they called a meeting in the evening after they'd had a protest parade, and I was scheduled to speak, but they took me aside and said I could only support Pastor Butler and I could only support Bob Miles, and in other words, the guys who were not already in jail. In other words, the order members. I couldn't, in my speech, support them. And I told these guys straight out, I said, look, if I can't support all the people charged in this sedition trial, especially including the order members, then I'm not going to speak. And I didn't speak. But I didn't make a big deal out of it, but I've hated that son of a bitch ever since. And Fields is in the same boat. Remember, I've told you many times when word was getting around about Bob Matthews, Fields went to the CIA. And complained to the CIA that they had placed Bob Matthews in the right wing to destroy it. So, that gives you, if you haven't heard that before, these are things that actually happened. The American National Socialist Workers Party. At first we did great activism. The last few months I realized we only went after people that made Bill White mad. We no longer did political activism. All our time was spent on people Bill hated. Bill would appoint people like me to leadership roles and never listen to my advice. I told him for months to kick Justin Boyer out. Boyer, who spells like a retarded child, was a disgrace for anyone calling themselves a man. Instead, Bill allowed Boyer to make a complete mockery out of us. I find it funny now that Boyer testified against Bill. I also told Bill to kick Tom Bland out. Bill ripped me for this and took Bland's side. A few months ago, Bland was arrested for selling pot. We have the police record. Of course, I was right, and Bill was wrong. Bill also ran off my good friend, Mike Garrett, who called him mentally ill, and of making him look bad on our Yahoo group. As you can tell, I have created this blog. I will dedicate this blog as a pro-white news source, much as the White Reference does. The only difference is that my blog will expose the frauds and corruption within the pro-white movement instead of glorifying con men such as David Duke, Don Black, and others. I'm sure many will hate me and threaten me. Wait, they've been doing that for many years now. Well, I don't know. I know there's a lot of truth in this. The right wing is like this. It's been this way ever since I used to be involved with it decades ago. And so even though it's regrettable that this kind of stuff has to surface, without a major change in the right wing and these groups, they're through. They're just going to dwindle down to nothing and fade out. Even the biggest of them have problems. And this is why a long time ago I decided to go to the lone wolf thing, because you can see all this inner bickering going on. Now, since we've gone lone wolf and operated the way I do, I don't have these problems, you know. I hear about these problems. I hear the right wing crying and guys crying and moaning and accusing guys of this and that, and some of it's true, some of it's not. And of course, this is exactly what the FBI and the Homeland Security agents, this is what they've done for decades. When I got involved in things back in the 60s, is exactly what they were doing, COINTELPRO. And all they have to do is keep spreading rumors. They can destroy any group, because people tend to believe rumors over facts and evidence. Instead of, if a guy makes a charge against a guy, well, you got to interrogate him and say, well, prove it. Give me the evidence. We'll put a lie detector here and let's check you out, see whether you're telling us the truth. But these groups, and when the ARA and all these people say these nasty things, it's a lot of it is true. Of course, they've got the same problem. Of course, you know, whether it's the Republican Party or the these other little groups like ARA and stuff, they've all got the same kind of problems. They got their snitches. They got their scumbags. They got a lot more scumbags probably than our side does. But that doesn't change the fact that the right wing has always been riddled with con men, homosexuals, perverts, child molesters, and all that kind of stuff. Because I have known who they are, and I have talked about it before. So anyhow, that's it. Some of these guys that's attacked in here, they may not deserve it. I don't know. All I'm doing is giving you what the guy said, and I left the right wing in disgust, and then Dr. Fields, who's never done anything associated with being a doctor, he was a chiropractor who never chiropracted, so he calls himself doctor to make himself look educated, he said, we're kicking you out of the right wing, Tom Metzger. And I said, you don't have to kick me out. I've been gone for a long time. And they still try to make me a right winger. And the press, of course, keep trying to make me a right winger. I haven't been a right winger for at least a decade and a half, maybe two decades now. But they don't, the right wing, just go about their business, do their little thing. That's fine with me. Just don't bother me. But I'm going to warn you, they're not going to be a right wing one of these days. And that's probably a good thing, because then we can get on to revolutionary activity and politics of the deed, as Bob Miles used to say. Now, in all fairness, I'll say that the person who wrote that was, his name is Mike Burks. I've never heard of him, don't know him. I never know. He might have emailed me or something, but I don't know him. And what his motivations are, well, I'm not sure. But I'm just saying that a hell of a lot of what's in that letter was very true. Dear TT, recently I saw on YouTube some videos from Showtime's Penn and Teller's show called Bullshit. Yeah, I've watched that show a few times. I don't subscribe to Showtime, so I haven't seen it for quite a while. These guys are pretty smart and provide a lot of evidence to back up their claims. I'm not sure. I think they're both Jews, but I don't have any evidence of that. They aren't racist, and I have unfortunately done an done an episode, they did an episode promoting immigration. But in the same breath, they attacked the Bible, gun control, the war on drugs, sensitivity training, and even making reparations to non-whites. If any lone wolves get the chance to check them out on YouTube, a lot of good info, and it ain't bullshit. Signed, Lone Wolf. Yeah. Yeah, they do. They put out some stuff. It's not all bad. Some of them is real good.
Do the jobs that you guys don't want to do. We are the people that do a lot of things that Americans also want to do. We are a low-wage work, and we are people that makes this country most prosperous.
Manuel went down to Georgia. He was looking for a job to steal. He was in a bind. He was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across a white boy sweeping a Walmart parking lot, Manuel jumped out of his lowrider and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. In case you didn't know it, I'm not an American like you. And if you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you sweep pretty good parking lots, but give Manuel his due. Your lot I'll clean for Carter Green, because I can work harder than you." The boy said, "My name's Bubba, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I can outwork a Mexican. Bubba, you're true red, white, and blue. Now sweep that parking lot hard, because wetbacks are in Georgia, and they're looking for green cars. And if you win, we'll deport his ass back to Mexico. But if you lose, we all speak Espanol." This show. Then fire blew from his fingertips as he put down his taco. Then he pushed his broom across the lot. It made an evil hiss. Then a van of wetbacks joined in, and it sounded something like this. Finished, Bubba said, "You're pretty good, old son, but get back in your lowrider and let me show you how it's done.
Fire from the border agent's guns. Watch Manuel and an eagle run. On the phone, press 2-4 Espanol. Stealing our jobs, calling us gringos."
Manuel bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid his welfare money on the ground at Bubba's feet. Bubba said, "Manny, just sneak on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I can outwork a Mexican.
Fire from the border agent's guns. Watch Manuel and his amigos run. We send their ass back to Mexico. Now with the bucks gone, who gringos?"
Well, I was fumbling around the dials last night in the middle of the night and on the radio like I do, and guess what? I came up with a guy who, he's pretty good. He's a pretty good talk show guy. He's right wing, but he seemed pretty good. His name was, Mike Church, and I heard him do a dissertation just rapping Lincoln, because everybody's out kissing Lincoln's ass yesterday, and he did a thing that could have been put together by the old-time Klan, just tearing the shit out of Lincoln, and of how he really tramped and really destroyed the Constitution and all the things that he did about denying habeas, taking habeas corpus away like Bush did. I guess it's still gone. And all that. And actually, he got me thinking a little bit. Maybe I've been a little bit too hard on some of my Southern friends. Not that I ever had anything against them, but I never liked that plantation idea because as long as they can make money out of them, they're going to keep the niggers. My whole idea was getting the Negroes out of North America. And now Lincoln played around with the idea, but never really did anything. And it's probably doubtful that he would have got it done. So when you balance it out with all the bad crap he did and what he did to the country and how many white men died, and also how it brought in tremendous amounts of people from other countries just to be martyrs, just be meat in the battles of the Civil War, you know. It was a very bad situation, very bad. You know, a lot of times I'll say that we probably have never recovered from the Second World War for the damage done to our race. Well, I think we ought to go back to the Civil War. We may never recover from the damage the Civil War did to our race. The cream of the crop died in the Civil War. Hundreds of thousands of men, and there was all kinds of debt piled up. Lincoln tried to pay it off with greenbacks and things like that. And how Obama could stand up there, the lying son of a bitch like all of them, and talk about Lincoln and Emancipation Proclamation, which was simply a military thing to cause havoc behind the lines. He never freed any Negro on the Union, in the areas where the Union controlled. And I read that article yesterday about all the places where he said that, you know, they wouldn't be attacked because they were not evidently in rebellion. And even down into New Orleans, just places like that. So, now if he'd have freed all Negroes everywhere, he would have had some at least legitimacy. But when Obama and these people, they go on and on about Lincoln, ad nauseum. Well, I can't handle it. And how come people always worship war presidents, you know? To be in their best interest, they should not worship war presidents, because all the wars are usually for different reasons than what we're told, and we're drug off to die in foreign battlefields, not for what they say you're dying for, and not for defending the country, not defending your town and your county, but it's to work for the very rich and the well-heeled and the corporations, or some crap that has nothing to do with your life. And so to put these people that were war presidents on such a pedestal shows the mentality of the sheep. It's pretty bad, pretty bad. I mean, look at what Roosevelt pulled off. Look at all the men that died, and how it totally, if you didn't get killed, it sort of screwed up the fabric of our culture and society and led to all this other bullshit, you know. And then Truman integrating the services and all that. And most of our racial problems come from something that happened because of military activity. Think about it. I don't know what time that Mike Burke church comes on. I was half asleep. It was about, I guess, about 1:30 in the morning when I heard him. But he may be on radio stations. I bet he's on radio stations down south. I would imagine he would be. But while all the other Republicans were saying how wonderful Lincoln was, this guy was, like I said, tearing him a new rear end, man. Actually, to be on the air like that, you're taking a big risk at going against the grain, because people get bounced off these shows all the time, these for saying just the wrong thing. And to attack Lincoln like that was pretty brave of the guy. I'd like to remind some of our friends out there, because I've been reminded by one of my associates here, that he says, in lieu of leaving the country, we should encourage people who are leaving their areas to move where a high percentage of whites live. That is part of the heartland idea and so forth. Well, yeah, to pick up for the average white man and move to a non-English speaking country especially is a big, big problem. You got a lot more problems than just sitting down where there's more white people, because there are cultural differences that takes a lifetime to be involved with those kind of cultural differences. Local personalities and cliques and all kinds of things. So before you think about pulling up stakes and actually relocating in another whiter country, or a country that has been white, or a bunch of white people, say, in Ireland or England or Eastern Europe or Russia, you'd ought to think about that a long time. There's a hell of a lot involved other than say, oh, now there's white people here. Well, there's white people here, too, and there are a lot of them are your biggest enemies. So I agree with my advisor that if they're going to move where there's a high percentage of whites for a staging area. The guerrillas, the guerrilla underground, you know, they can, single guys probably, they can hang out in the cities and hide out and disguise themselves and be ready for whatever they want to do. And then you can go back out to a white area. But that would be my advice. That's in reverse. That's exactly what the niggers do. Their staging area is in their shitholes, like here in Chicago and L.A. and places like that, Cleveland. You know, all over the country, they've got their hoods, and they go out from there, and they keep going out a little farther. They're foraging and robbing and stealing and spreading the dope business, meth business, and so forth. And so, what they're doing to us, we can do to them. So I hope you understand how that would work in reverse, only probably using much different methods. Remember back in the old days over in Europe, when they wanted to capture a citadel or a castle, many times they would find infected rats, bubonic plague rats. They'd put them on these catapults and catapult them over the walls into the city. And then they'd just sit back and wait till the people inside all got bubonic plague and were pretty much all dead, and then they'd wait a while and walk in. Yeah, well, there's all kinds of things that people have done down through history, and sometimes those things can be brought up to date. I don't know where there's any bubonic plague rat, and I don't feel like picking one of them up, but this is just a little story I'm telling you. Well, let's see what Joom's got to say to us this today. Hey, T.T., whites today can't deny it. No matter where you live around the globe or in what country, we're third-class citizens. Not even second class, like the women complain about being, but lower than them, and lower than even the blacks were before the Civil Wrongs Movement. The roles have been reversed, and just whose fault is that this happened? Why, it's ours, not mine personally, not my race, because the majority of my fellow whites have laid back with blinders on as the Jews and their bootlicks gradually erode our status in our damned country, the one we built, the one we fought for, and the one we bled and died for. Whites are the inventors and architects of the modern world. Without us, none of what the mud see around them and enjoy would exist at all. There would be no Colonel Sanders for the coons to drool over, or tons of fresh produce and other foods at their fingertips. No electricity, no lights, no heat, no running water, no medicines, no TV, no radio, no cars, no planes, no nothing. They'd all still be back in the horse and cart days that still exist in many mud-run countries. Or even worse than that, Tommy says, they'd be simply walking. Whites inverted laws, government, democracy, and socialism. Whites invented laws, government, democracy, and socialism. Whites invented philosophy, astronomy, theater, fine art, classical music, and so on. When was the last time you heard a grand symphony from India or Africa or South America? When was the last one of these wrote something on a par with Hemingway or Shakespeare? The best blacks can do, for example, is to come out with some vile, profane rap song. Though there's no music to it, it's just a bestial gutter drum beat of low animal. There's nothing spiritually uplifting in their music, only filth put into a jungle beat. Or try the Arabs, for example, screaming high-pitched yowling that sounds like a rabid cat being slowly fed a hamburger grinder into a hamburger grinder. The white man sets his goals high. He searches for spiritual enlightenment or internal peace or great wisdom from the wise ancients, anything that will uplift him spiritually and mentally. A mud's goals are food, sex, money, and booze, or drugs, or both. He has no goals other than what he can enjoy today. Bestial goals. He breeds mindlessly, not caring that he's bringing more ignorant subhumans into the hard world where they'll struggle just to eat until violence or disease kills them. What does he care? He can't think any further ahead than getting his rocks off. Consequently, all the mud countries literally boil in teeming masses of filthy, ignorant, and starving primitives. I've been to places where there were small brown bodies pressed together in a boiling mat of people that stretched as far as I could see, in all directions, each one struggling as he rubbed against his neighbor and trying to make his way through the throng. And all these countries reflect their occupants, being nothing but vast lands of filth, disease, and want. As one world traveler put it, in this country, we have a designated area for defecating and urinating, and all other areas are forbidden. Over there, the whole entire country is a toilet with designated areas where you do not defecate. This is disgusting in the extreme to a Westerner, but in fact, nonetheless, amen. This means you're damn sure that you better watch where you're stepping because you could run across a steaming pile right outside your front door. Why? Because it's not inside. Many of the street gutters are nothing more than open sewers running with filth. And it's common to see people bending over out in the public, dropping a load like a stray dog. In fact, many cities have no sewer systems at all, but are copies of the old cities out of our own Middle Ages. I bring all this up to point out the fact that these are the exact same people that the social Marxists have placed above us in our own home. This is an insult and an outrage that screams for retribution and a rebalancing of the status quo. The scales must be allowed to balance once again to their proper place. The Jew must get his fat thumb off the scales. We Aryans are just the ones to do it. We all see the government and the economy crumbling before our eyes, which means our time draws near. The true test of our mettle is going to be when this happens. Then we'll see how many of us come out from hiding and join forces to combat the evil once and for all. We must crush remnants of this evil Jew-controlled government and reinstate the Constitution of the United States to its former glory and interpretation. Well, June, I disagree there. I don't think it's going to be any good for the next round. Anyhow, not the social Marxist travesty that we're forced to use today. Until that time, we must all lay low, build up our personal arsenals and survival needs and strengths in our ties and our lines of communication with our allies. If the current trend continues, it won't be long until internet communication is blocked from us altogether, leaving only the phone lines to a limited extent, and snail mail. This is why it's imperative you people swap phone numbers and physical addresses with each other, including directions to your homes. There may be a time when people will have to band together just to survive. No, sharing your home with someone is never convenient or easy, but don't knock it, because it might end up being you're knocking on an ally's door because the goons are after you and your safety has collapsed. Whites have damn few rights left, but a whole bag of full of liabilities and dangers that we have to hurdle every day just to stay out of the traps that thought police have laid for us. This means that to the average person, you must present yourself as Joe Average, just another brain-dead dullard, going along with the program. I predict that within this next 4 years, the life we all used to know, or should I say what's left of that life, will be blown away like a mouse fart in a tornado. It's going to be one hell of a roller coaster ride, but having strong friends and allies can and will make all the difference. Remember, we are not third-class citizens. We're not third-class anything. We are the rightful rulers of this planet, and it's time we started acting like it. We're going to take back our birthright and make the bastards that have tried to steal it pay dearly. The time is coming when the word Aryan will strike fear into the hearts of Jews, liberals, politicians, homosexuals, and muds everywhere. The next time you look in a mirror, take a good look. That face, that's the face of a ruler, a member of the master race. Let the liberals and the Jews put out all the propaganda documentaries they want about us, calling us all kinds of vile things. They do it because they fear us. Don't ever forget that. It is a basic truth in life, a fact. We are the rulers of this world, and we're going to mount the throne once again. Right? I might add, though, be very, very careful. Tommy says, when you're choosing friends and exchanging phone numbers and addresses and things like that, be extremely, extremely careful. Well, here's a little bit more from Joom. He's working his tail off even while he's recuperating from that major, major, very painful heart operation. Just a little note to all you smokers out there. There's some weird reason, a very large percentage of white supremacists that smoke. Personally, I think it has to do with stress. Awareness and wisdom bring stress to those who have it. The dumber ones among us are blissfully unaware, and thus far fewer of them smoke. That's not to say that people who don't smoke are dumb. I'd be calling myself a nitwit since I rarely puff anymore. But that stress is a big factor in smoking. On January 29th, the new liberal social Marxist Senate passed a whopping tax on tobacco to finance education for niglets and wetlets. Just another chunk out of Whitey's wallet for the wogs. A ton of angry people raised hell about it and fought tooth and nail, but those cursed social Marxists ignored everyone and did exactly what they wanted to do. Anyway, that's my friends, is a taste of things to come. Our voice means absolutely squat to these elitists. We're going to look down their noses at us poor, stupid whites and screw us good. So you might as well get the Vaseline out and bend over, because here it comes. First, there was a tax on tea, and we reacted rather badly towards that. And now a tax on tobacco. Well, interestingly enough, the big tobacco companies have got a hell of a case going against all the states that got all that money. Most of them, it went down a drain. It was supposed to go to smoker education. None of them spent a dime on smoker education that I've been able to find. So, but now there's, from a constitutional position, there's a group going to fight the government like hell to reverse the decisions on the tobacco companies. So I heard an interview about it. Unfortunately, I didn't get it taped, but it was sounded like they had their stuff together pretty good. So, who knows? And I'm not promoting smoking, but I think people ought to be free to do what they want to do. And, you know, even drugs. You want to take drugs? Well, if you're told and know and been taught the problems with drugs and what it can cause, and you know, like that, well, and you still want to take them, well, take them. I mean, you know, we're responsible for our own actions, every one of us. Well, there's a report from a returning lone wolf from Iceland. T.T., upon my return recently from this Nordic land known as Iceland, I can tell you that most Icelanders are and were caught up in Americoon capitalism and were acting like corporate Americans. Also, I know that the homo-lesbo issue here may appear small due to the population, but Iceland has all laws in favor of the homos. For example, three nights a week, a homo queer nights out like most, but during the weekends, these homo-lesbos, switch-hitters, hang in regular clubs and mix in. Now, for a country that holds 300,000, most live in the capital of Reykjavik, around 200,000 or so. During August, there's a huge homo-lesbian drag celebration of around 60,000 in the parade alone, and most Icelanders come in tow with their children to support this sicko parade. Yes, the parade has a percentage of niggers and assorted muds of stripe. Most Icelanders I spoke with were in favor of Obama because of his negroidness. Also, Oprah, the fat nigger, was on the Jew toilet set there every day. Downtown Reykjavik has a intercultural center upon which I visited and posted resist.com, learned about environmental contamination all over the sandwich board that had lists of flats and possible jobs. Helped myself to free coffee, and there in the center spoke with a lady about how badly I thought Icelanders treated white working Poles from Poland that are slaving away at minimum wage. Yes, some of the women, like most anywhere, are stunning in their own way, but are used to wimpy white males without balls. One thing, though, I used the word nigger and nobody really batted an eye. There's a Viking museum, but nothing that big I know in Dublin. The one there was a lot larger, had more information, and was done well. Saw about 20 to 25 niggers there from Afrikaan countries. One is too many. A lot of the thigh gooklets that scum, limp-wristed Icelandic men marry. So most Icelanders feel that the homo movement is great and are open to it. Great beer there and clean water, that's about it. My advice to whites, do not even bother place called Blue Lagoon hot tubs and thermal around outdoor place filled with busloads of folk. When I was there, I noticed most appeared to be queers. Rockwell would roll over in his grave. So all you single wolf gals out there, I'm still single. He was looking around Iceland. I think you just better look around here in the States. You'll find a good one. How about a little karma here? Mississippi judge pleads not guilty in bribery case. Jackson, Mississippi, a judge known for successfully prosecuting a white supremacist decades after the civil rights era killing, pleaded not guilty Thursday to 5 federal charges in an unrelated judicial bribery scheme that ensnared some of the state's wealthiest attorneys. Mississippi Circuit Judge Bobby DeLafter was influenced with a promise that former U.S. Senator Trent Lott would help him get appointed to the federal bench, according to an 8-page indictment unsealed Thursday. Lott has not been accused of wrongdoing. Well, yeah, he's saving his white ass. DeLafter, a judge in Hinds County, which includes Jackson, is charged with conspiracy, mail fraud, and obstruction. His arraignment in U.S. District Court in Oxford came just 2 days after Lott's brother-in-law, noted anti-tobacco attorney Richard Dickey Scruggs, pleaded guilty to mail fraud charges. Let me tell you too, before the show's over, and it's almost over, that these attorneys that handled all this anti-tobacco company stuff made billions of dollars, not millions, not thousands. These attorneys made billions. Like, some of them got up to 14 or 15 billion. DeLauder's attorney did not immediately respond to a message from the Associated Press. DeLauder presided over a bitter dispute among Scruggs and other lawyers over millions of dollars in fees from asbestos litigation. You see, these guys jump in there, all these ambulance-chasing bastards. Almost all your politicians are lawyers, you know. Scruggs, the chief architect of the multimillion-dollar tobacco settlements of the 1990s, has admitted he was involved in a scheme to entice DeLafter to rule in his favor by promising he'd be appointed to the federal bench. Lot talked to Delactor, but ultimately recommended someone else for the job. Amazing. Amazing, these guys. They got billions or hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're still going around trying to screw the people. They all deserve to be seomade. That means deprived of resistance. And that's it. That's in Korean. That's it for today. 14 words, 5 words, and we'll see you tomorrow. And Computer Man is on the mend. He had surgery. He'll be back tomorrow.
Calling. Ghost Wolf Radio calling. This is Ghost Wolf, Aryan Pariah, White Proletariat, White Working Class, White Werewolf, White Gorilla Radio calling. Some unknown white man in some unknown town decided that he's going to take action against the genocide of his race, and he was going to make a mark in a town unaffiliated with him, his friends, or his family. A town about 75 miles away. He researched that town through online maps on Google and other websites for all kinds of targets in that town. Christian churches with services in Spanish, target. Muslim mosques, target. Hindu temples, target. Churches with Chinese, Korean, and Vietnamese services, target. Realty and mortgage companies, target. Banks that advertise on the outside of their establishment with the following words, Exceptamos matriculas, target. He looks at the surrounding universities and colleges and looks at their event calendar to see what kind of pro-Jew race-mixing shit is on the docket for a particular day. He checks the community calendar of that specific city's website, and he looks for MLK celebrations and other vile shit. He looks at satellite photos for the best possible routes to and from his objective. The minute he is out of the city limits of his hometown, he puts on clothes that are nondescript and uncharacteristic. The moment he gets into the town when he's going to perform his Ghost Wolf activity, he puts on false license plates on his car. These false license plates will have a magnetic backing, plenty of magnetic backing so it won't fall off. And the holes where you screw in the license plate, he's going to cut around that so his own screws will show through. This way it won't look out of place. Or he drives a rental car with false plates, or some other car not affiliated with him in any way. He writes no checks and uses no plastic whatsoever in this Ghost Wolf town. No gas cards. He doesn't even go into a convenience store to buy a 7-Up or a Subway sandwich. If he needs to eat or drink anything, he takes it with him from his hometown. And he makes sure not to discard any trash from his hometown, and he will not discard it in the Ghost Wolf town. If he chooses a target, he recons the surrounding area for CCTV, closed-circuit television. He wants to see if the bank camera across the street can catch his image. And when he recons the surrounding area, he uses casual confidence. He walks like he doesn't have a care in the world, still dressed in his nondescript, uncharacteristic clothing. He alters his gait, meaning the way he walks. And if he talks to anyone, he uses jargon uncharacteristic of him. He parks in apartment complex parking lots, not too close to his objective, but not too far. Apartment complex parking lots make good place to park your car, because during your egress from your mission, your escape and evading, something could go wrong where you can't get to your car right away. and you don't want to park in a store parking lot, because after the store hours close, you don't want your car being the only car in the parking lot that stands out. You can leave your car parked in an apartment complex parking lot maybe for a couple of days. Make sure you park in the slot that says guest or visitor. Ethnic food places like Mexican restaurants and Chinese restaurants, Target. Convenience stores operated by MUDs, Target. He never looks up, so his face may not be in plain view, but he always assumes he's on closed-circuit television. His name is Eric Blackburn, and he has found freedom in this realm of madness. You know, I was thinking the other day, the white race truly has the ability to build a utopia on this planet, or in an all-white homeland. Do you know that there's not even a billion white people on this planet? I believe the total white population is something like 850 million worldwide. There's over a billion Chinese alone, not to mention the Koreans and the Japanese. There's over a billion Indians alone. You know, dots, not feathers. But we will not be able to establish any kind of utopia because the other races are dragging us down, because they are incapable of inventing a utopia or sustaining one. Possibly the only ones that could sustain one are the Chinese or the Asians. But they're not the best innovators. They can copy our technology and make, you know, minor improvements. But we live in an age of incompetence, and we need to take advantage of that. Give you an example here. There's a 14-year-old kid who infiltrated a Chicago police station a couple weeks back. 14 years old. Needless to say that this police station is in an all-black neighborhood, and the police personnel are all black at this particular station. This kid showed up as a new recruit for roll call. He was assigned a partner and went on the road with a veteran police officer for 5 hours answering calls. We live in an age of incompetence. We need to take advantage of it. We also have the dissatisfaction of living in an age where Phoenix, Arizona is the kidnapping capital of the United States. The Mexican cartels are really wreaking havoc north of the border. So far, it's on illegal aliens and Mexican nationals. But it's only a matter of time before whites fall prey to them. Now is the time. I know Tom Metzger told you many times to keep your powder dry, but you have to weigh that on yourself. Police department budgets are hurting. State budgets are in the sewer. Money for prisons is getting scarce. California released one-third of its nonviolent inmates because of budget cuts. See the writing on the wall. We live in incompetent times. There's a town in southern Illinois called Pontiac, Illinois. Predominantly white town. They have a prison there. And they're all upset that they're going to lose their prison. How far the white race is falling, where we need to depend on crime in order for us to have an economy. These people should welcome the fact that their prison's leaving. They need to fill the gap. They need to take those prison grounds and do something with it. Fuck, make a factory. Do something. Jesus Christ, you're white. Stop depending on the state to do everything for you. I was thinking about UFOs the other day, and I was thinking, why are world governments so hush-hush about UFOs? If they were truly extraterrestrial, I believe the press worldwide would be all over it. I truly believe UFOs, especially the one seen over O'Hare Airport back in November of 2007, is not an extraterrestrial. These are U.S. military projects that never lack funding, no matter how bad the economy is. We could hit a 1929 type of scenario tomorrow, but believe me, the U.S. military will have money to experiment and find out other ways and develop technology to best control us. You brothers out there want to make some money? How about a sperm bank? You go in, you fill out a profile, make sure you make yourself sound glowing. make sure you say that you have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice or a degree in anything. Make sure you say that you're physically active and you've been an athlete all your life. Make sure it coincides with your physique. And the attendant there will take you to a private room, give you a sample bottle, numerous magazines, and you call upon Rosie Palm and her five sisters. For you European listeners, that means masturbate into the sperm bottle. Put the cap on, take it to the attendant, and they check it real quick to see if you have any strong swimmers. If you do, you get $75. And your sample gets, you know, in their inventory. And rich white couples who want to have a children, but for some reason they can't, they like your sample. The sperm bank will contact you, and you can get an additional $1,500. You don't have to worry about some kid knocking on your door 15, 18, 20 years later, because you'll never meet this couple. Come on, guys. That's the least you can do for your race. Make sure you don't wear briefs for at least 30 to 45 days before you go leave a sample. It's better to let your balls hang and breathe so you can develop some strong swimmers. I saw a movie the other day with Denzel Washington. I don't particularly like this guy. I mean, I'll give him credit. He's a good actor, but I can tell in numerous interviews and his on-screen persona that he really likes himself. And anyways, the movie's called Deja Vu. And it's about this bomber who, you know, destroys this ferry. You know, I don't mean faggot. I mean a boat that goes across the river that carries people, transports them to another land base. And the bomb kills like 543 people. And they use some kind of freak technology where they can go back in time and stop the guy. Well, he's interviewing the bomber. And the bomber's played by Jim Caviezel, whatever his name is, the guy that played Jesus in that Mel Gibson movie. But I love this line he had in this movie, the bomber. And I liked a lot of what he said. And you notice people who say things that coincide with our worldview, may not be racial, but anti-system, the Jews always make sure they're portrayed as evil. They don't want independent thinking people in society. They want you to go along to get along. But the line from the bomber, he said, "Why prostrate yourself before a world going to hell in a handbasket? I'm not here to coexist. I'm here to win." I fucking love that line. But you know, at the end of the interview, the self-righteous Denzel Washington's character, you know, make sure that he says at the end of the interview, you know, "You're going to be locked up for a long time. Make sure you have some KY jelly." The Jews always put shit like that in the movies. Why? Because they want you, radical, marginalized, atomized, dumbed down, disaffected white heterosexual males, or white homosexual males that are racially aware. I don't give a fuck. Just don't make a pass at me. Okay? I don't putt from the rough. But they want to make sure that they inculcate the spirit of fear in you so you never do that. They want to make sure they perpetuate the fear of going to jail and being locked up with some black bubba. You know what? Blacks go to prison every day. They're scared too. But you know that one line that Patrick Swayze's character said in The Beast the other week? He said, "It's amazing what human beings can get used to." And that's why I don't think it's justice for these five niggers down in Knoxville who murdered and raped and tortured Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom. I don't think that's justice, them going to prison. You know, and if they go on death row, I mean, they're, the state's going to make or spend all kinds of money on appeals. It's not justice that they go to prison, because they will get used to prison life. You, white man, if you do something, will get used to prison life. You won't like it, but you'll fall into a rut in prison. Oh, I've been locked up before. I fell into a rut. I mean, I was only locked up for 6 months, but yeah, the first couple of days there was kind of shocking, but I fell into a routine where it was just like, I mean, that's human beings. We can get used to almost anything. So can you. All right. Let's talk about some things here. I think I'm done with my rant. Looking over my notes. Okay, picture this. America's occupied by Chinese occupation forces. That's not out of the realm of possibility. That could happen. Maybe not next week, but maybe someday it could happen because we are becoming weaker. And I heard this phrase in Tom Metzger today. I love this phrase. We watchmen on the wall. That is a cool phrase. I see myself as a watchman on the wall, among many others, Mr. Metzger included. But we're long gone. We're either locked up or we got a bullet in the back of the head. And something you guys, you nameless, faceless, bringer des blutes, you disciples of Occidental mayhem, to carry on. And I want to talk about firing a weapon system through either a window or a hole you blow in the wall to shoot out of. Number one, you do not want your weapon system, whether it's a 9mm pistol, a rifle, or a machine gun, you do not want the muzzle to protrude through the aperture of the opening, whether it's a hole in the wall or a window. Okay? But when you're shooting, the concussion of the rounds being ejected, it kicks up dust. Your weapon system can be 4 feet off the ground. It will still kick up dust. Now, you want to alleviate that dust because that dust is a signature. Okay? And shooting from the back wall in a room through an opening is also a smart tactic because it'll make it harder to see the flash. Don't ever shoot at a Chinese occupation force soldier with your weapon system protruding past any aperture, whether it's a window or a hole in the wall. Always remember that. But in order to alleviate the dust, you want to either put a soaking wet blanket there in the aperture or just use a bunch of water to hose down your aperture there. That will keep dust from kicking up. You know, don't overdo it. Don't be laying in a fucking puddle of mud if you don't...
Please hold while we attempt to recharge your account.
...area that you're going to be shooting through. Okay? And if you're shooting from the back of a wall, from the inside of a room, make sure you wet the floor and the area in front of the muzzle to keep any dust from kicking up. Saw the movie last night. I love this movie. This movie was really the catalyst. This movie and Red Dawn back in 1985 was the catalyst for me to join the full-time army.
Your credit card has been charged $25.
This movie, especially in the end when he just fucking goes off. This movie is a catharsis for me. It really is. But let's look at his tactics. All right, he commandeers a Army deuce and a half truck, and he drives it into town, into the gas station, drives it into the pumps, dislodges the gas, and throws a lighter on it, and then the whole place goes up. And then he runs down the block, and then he shoots up some transformers that are the cylinder, cylindrical type things on top of telephone poles that, you know, knock out the electricity in that immediate area. Then he shoots up a sporting goods store that's got gunpowder and ammunition. That is not feasible, okay? After he blew up the gas station, the police will be all over that area, okay? And they will, you know, they have this thing called, they set up perimeters. They have an inner perimeter, an outer perimeter. They have multiple perimeters to go through. If you have to escape and evade through police perimeters and you get through one, that's not the only one you have to get through. There are other ones. They do, you know, they have circles, you know, ever-expanding circles around a target area, okay? So it's not feasible for him to run down the block and then shoot up some transformers. It would have been smart of him, but Ollie was not going to do this, for him to do the thing at the gas station and commandeer some kind of vehicle, go to a town 20 miles down the road, shoot up some transformers, and then drive to another town 10 miles away, shoot up the sporting goods store. I mean, spread it out. You don't want all that activity in one area, not unless you're on a suicide mission. I did a little deed a couple years ago, okay? And it was essential that I dress in athletic attire. Running shoes, sweatpants, and a sweatshirt. but not bright-colored stuff, dark-colored stuff, but still looking athletic. I did what I had to do, but, you know, I did a lot of research on the geographic area where I did my thing, and there really wasn't any terrain I can exploit, like a massive forest preserve or a, you know, a creek bed or a cemetery that I can cut through. There was a certain woods that I can cut through. But in order for me to avoid any kind of suspicion, I had to blend in with the natural flow of human activity for this particular night. It was about 8:30 at night. A lot of people out driving on the road, a lot of people out at the stores or whatever. So I did what I did. In order for me to blend in with the natural flow of human activity, I got to a certain location after I cut through a short forest preserve, and I just started jogging down the road. You know, I'm loosening up my arms and that. Okay, I'm not running, looking over my shoulder furtively like, oh no, you know, they're going to get me. Cool, casual confidence. Casual confidence. I'm just jogging along, you know. Maybe throwing a few punches like I'm a boxer or whatever. And I jogged like maybe five blocks down the road, met up with some friends who just got done training at this training facility. I'm not going to say which one that was. Met up with my friends, we piled in the cars, and we went down to a McDonald's. You know, they just got done training. Well, I didn't train that night. And it was just interesting just sitting at McDonald's eating my Big Mac. I don't recommend you do that. Stay away from that shit. But it's just, you know, it's just a great feeling, man. It was just, I mean, I was just high as a kite just watching all these fucking police cars bombing up and down the fucking road because of what I did. I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't murder anybody, but what I did was pretty substantial. I mean, this 10 o'clock news and all that, it was great. Okay, so jogging when you're E&Eing, only do that if your only route of egress away from the area is a main street or a city street. You don't have any woods, you don't have any creeks, you don't have any rivers you can follow, no cemeteries, no parks, you know. If there are any of that stuff, exploit that as much as you can. But jogging out of an area, because remember, people don't pay attention to joggers. It's just normal human activity. The thing is not to stand out. I saw this movie the other day, The Package, with Gene Hackman, a movie from 1989. And, you know, he was on the run, and he stole the license plate off a rental car and put it on his own, or on his girlfriend's plate to avoid suspicion. Thought that was kind of cool. Later on in the movie, the sniper, played by Tommy Lee Jones, his weapon system protruded past the, he was shooting from the back of this sign, this marquee sign that had writing on it, and the muzzle of his weapon was actually sticking out through one of the letters. Don't ever fall for shit like that. Hollywood is going to do some misinformation on stuff. So, don't ever do that. That was a no-no. All right, I want to describe something here. This is only found, for the most part, in an urban setting, okay? You see what I'm about to describe, you'll see it in Brooklyn, Boston, Philly, Detroit, Chicago, Omaha, Los Angeles, maybe San Francisco, just big city areas that's got, you know, in the older part of towns. Not, I mean, not a new section town, but the older part of towns. Picture a liquor store. And right next to a liquor store is a pawn shop. You know, and they got their iron gates that they pull across the front of their stores at night when they're done locking up. A lot of times, the space between these buildings is only like maybe 30 inches wide. You know, if two men are walking in this, we call it Chicago, we call it a gangway. If one man's walking north, the other one's walking south, well, you got to hug the wall to get by each other, okay? Because it's pretty tight space. Now, we're under Chinese occupation. Okay, now, at nighttime, the city streets, the streetlights there in the immediate area will illuminate at least the first 2 feet of that gangway. But the rest of the gangway is fucking dark as hell. Now, if I stand right in the opening of that gangway, the aperture of that gangway, I mean, with my fucking machine gun, my 9mm, my rifle, whatever, I can traverse practically a 180. I can go from one side, you know, up one side of the street, across the street, and down the same street that I'm standing on. But the key is to stand back in the shadows. Yes, this does constrict your sector of fire, but it gives you a chance to shoot Chinese troops that are walking by the immediate aperture there, but you're in the darkness there. No one can get a make on what you look like. You're blending in with the shadows. And these, I call these firing ports, man, because they're just fucking beautiful. And when you egress out of that area, you're not going to walk onto the street. You're going to follow the gangway down to the alley, go down the alley, and, you know, that alley connects with another alley. You take that alley, and then you start cutting through yards, and you start cutting through parks, and start following some railroad tracks. Get the fuck out of Dodge, okay? But the thing is, you stand back in the shadows. Yes, it does restrict your sector of fire, but you can engage Chinese troops across the street, right there in the immediate area. You know, I mean, just when this goes down, people are going to, well, may hear the report of the weapon going off, but they're not going to wonder. They're not going to know where it came from. Yes, the muzzle flash could give you away, but then again, maybe it won't, because there's a lot of neon lights and street lights on too. So it's you're not shooting from a completely dark environment. The shadow you stand in is dark, but the surrounding street is not dark. So, you know, your flash could blend in with the reflection of a streetlight off of a passing car's windshield. I mean, this is beautiful stuff here, man. I mean, just these firing ports that are in between buildings in an urban area. Exploit that shit when we come under occupation, okay? You ghost fools out there, whether you have a cell or you're by yourself, join one of these paintball clubs. It's a good way for you to practice your, you know, your fire movement, you know? I mean, you know, you don't even have to use paintball. You guys can get together and get a couple airsoft guns. They look like genuine firearms, but they shoot a little hard plastic pellet. And you shoot close range, they hurt. So wear goggles, wear protective gear on the face, maybe. And maybe don't wear protective clothing. Well, wear a cup, you know. But don't wear protective clothing, because it gives you an incentive. You get shot that maybe you need to get down lower. Maybe you need to use better fire movement techniques. But practice your tactics using paintball or airsoft. And if you come under scrutiny of law enforcement or people, say, hey, we're just a bunch of guys having fun. We're going to drink some beers after this. They don't know you're some cell training for a fucking mission. And when you do train, have fun with it. Joke and jive with your comrades and have fun and, you know, just talk shit. Don't have a real serious demeanor about you when you take part in this training, because that will attract attention, okay? Casual confidence. You have nothing to hide. Remember that. Remember, why prostrate yourself before a world going to hell in a handbasket? Because you're not here to coexist, Ghost Wolf. You don't want to coexist. You're here to win. Okay? Alright. Saw another movie. Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, called Heat. And Robert De Niro's one of these crews. I mean, these crews that had their shit together. They were doing high finance ripoffs and stuff like that. Well, they got on the police radar because one of the guys, played by Tom Sizemore, I believe his character's name was Michael Cerrito or something like that, he had a habit of calling people slick. And when Al Pacino, who played the cop, started interviewing people, interviewed this informant, this black informant, all I know is this guy, you know, using the word slick. And he goes, yeah, he used that word slick because they did this job, and Tom Sizemore's character called someone slick at the scene of one of their jobs, and someone heard that, and that was reported to the police. If you have a habit of saying a certain thing, you know, that's why I said before in this opening story, you want to use jargon that is uncharacteristic of you on the job. And you need to be cognizant of that. You need to practice that. Don't practice it with your friends. Only your friends hear you use this uncharacteristic jargon. But if you have a habit of saying a certain thing, hey, Ace, hey, Slick, hey, homie, ain't none of you should be using homie unless you're undercover. But, you know, stop doing that now. You know, maybe you take a lot of pride because you're known for saying a certain thing. If you're a ghost wolf, stop doing that now because it could slip up on a job. And that may be the only thing they need to get you. You know, the police or the news, they do this profile of a certain crime. We're looking for a white male, you know, 6 feet, 185 pounds, often refers to people as slick. Someone close to you is going to see that, okay? So be cognizant of things that could give you away. Let's talk about cannibalism. When the shit hits the fan and Mad Max makes itself known in the blood-covered plains of North America, let me tell you something, I thought long and hard about this. And I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm in that environment, I'm eating me a nigger. I'm telling you right now, I'm eating me a spick. You know? Cut off the skin, scrape off the subcutaneous fat, whatever they call that. Cut the meat off the bone, it's roasted over fire. I'm telling you, they're going to do it to us. You're damn right they're going to do it to us. How many stories have you heard on CNN about chaos in Haiti and African nations and how they wasn't even 3 weeks before they started eating each other? Listen, you're going to need protein to survive. And if you don't have hunting skills to bring down fucking elk and deer and stuff like that, you know, the country boys got that, and kudos for you guys, but you're going to maybe need to eat one of your enemies, because believe me, they will do it to us. Okay. That's it for cannibalism. You know, I can't stress enough, nondescript, uncharacteristic clothing. I can't stress it enough. I saw an episode of First 48 the other night, last night, and this spick kills this white woman. And there he is. He's sizing her up as a victim, and he's on the first surveillance cameras in this elevator. No hat, no uncharacteristic clothing. And they got his face from the camera in the elevator, and they, you know, flash it on the news, and some people started coming forward and say, "Hey, that's Jose Castro." Then they found out where the guy lived, and they went to go pick him up, brought him in for questioning, compared him to the photos. Man, he sure looks a lot like the guy. Got a warrant to check it, to search his house, search his apartment, and found the jacket that he was wearing in the elevator. It was in his fucking closet, okay? First, I think the nigger should have died, but remember, we spend a lot of money on death row inmates. Don't get me wrong, I believe in the death penalty, but the Jews make it hard to kill human scum in this country because they've fucked up our legal system so much where there's just so many goddamn, you know, what do you call those, appeals. That's why I respect Timothy McVeigh. He got to a point where, like, kick his lawyers out. Like, fuck this, man. Let's just go to, you know, let's just go to the gallows. I respect that guy so much. Okay. I want to talk about James and Frank here. They're two comrades that belong to a cell. And maybe they come under a little scrutiny. And I know I say, use the five words, don't say nothing. But if some unpredictable thing, I mean, you got to play this by ear, but, you know, let's say James gets hauled into the Zog place and is being interrogated. And, you know, he's like, hey, you know, you either work for us or we're going to fucking burn you. We're going to nail you to the wall, man. You're going to be in solitary confinement for the rest of your natural born life. You know, and maybe James could say, you know what, all right, man, I'll work for you guys or whatever. Maybe, now don't forget, I stress with the utmost, use the five words. But I was watching this episode of Burn Notice last night, and the main star of the show is being set up by an associate. And the main guy, who's like a really smart spy, he noticed that, you know, something's not right about the way you're talking to me. And all of a sudden he says, who are you working for? All of a sudden the guy who he was working for shows up. Michael, I couldn't pull it over. Yeah, you know, his name is Michael Weston in the movie, or in the show. And he, you know, he goes through the motions and dealing with this guy throughout the episode. But at the end of the episode, the main character, Michael Weston, says to this guy, he says, listen, if you're ever in a situation like that again, to tip me off that I know you're being used by my enemies, just say, hey, Michael, let's get together. I'll buy lunch. And that'll be your code phrase for me to know that you're under pressure from another spy, law enforcement agency, or whatever. But I thought that was really cool technique. So, you know, think about that. I'm telling you, this show, Burn Notice, like, he did something last night. These bank robbers took over this bank, and they pulled this thing out of the bag that jammed all cell phone frequencies or whatever, so nobody can use their cell phone calling out. So this Michael Weston guy, and I want, Wolf Computer Guy is watching this show, because he's doing stuff with technology. I don't know if it's misinformation, I don't know if it's possible, but he opened up this panel, I think it dealt with something with computers, and he got a hold of his cell phone, and he wired the cell phone to this thing and was able to call outside of the bank. And, you know, he narrates stuff throughout this thing, and some of the stuff he says when he's narrating the show is just very thought-provoking. So, I hope you guys are definitely watching that show. You know, so maybe that could be a good code phrase. You know, maybe James could say to Frank, when they get together or he talks on the phone, say, hey, let's meet at Luigi's, you know, that pizza place on 34th Street. Don't worry about it. I'll buy lunch. And that'll tip off Frank and let him know, okay, I see what's going on here, you know. And then maybe Frank won't show up at the meet. And maybe he'll watch James from a good distance away with binoculars. And maybe James can use some other kind of natural bodily behavior to let him know, say, yes, I am compromised. Don't come meet me because they're waiting to bust you. You know, I mean, man, we got to think outside the box to, you know, fight for our race, you know. But I don't think we're at the cell structure right now. I don't perceive that there's maybe any cells out there. I don't think we're at that stage yet. You know, we're too paranoid right now, and for good reason. You know, most of the people who think like us, unfortunately, are still wrapped up in old world tactics. You know, and you guys that listen to these shows, I ask you, I beg of you, please tape or go to resist.com. Go to the main page there, scroll down to see Ghost Wolf Radio, and record these shows. Not for me, not for my posterity or anything like that, but just, you know, have a little tape recorder, have these tapes, put it somewhere where it won't be found by your family or friends, and when you get some cell structure thing going on there because life becomes too unbearable, and I hope you don't get used to living into the shit that is happening to our race, but, you know, play these tapes over and over. Memorize these things that I'm giving you guys. I've used them. They work, okay? Maybe it just comes natural for me because I am a natural paranoid person. Speaking of which, I spoke with Tom Metzger early this morning, to see if I could do a show. And when I hung up with him, you know, I went in the kitchen for something. And usually in the morning, I crack my drapes in that, you know, shine into my living room, you know, because I like to watch traffic go by, you know, I like to keep an eye on the neighborhood, you know, living in the spick-infested streets of Berwyn, Illinois. To my north is Oak Park, Illinois. That's being overrun by niggers, and those niggers are starting to move south into Berwyn. And we got shit-spicks coming in from the east and from Cicero. So, oh man, you know, I walk in this town and it just pisses me off because I imagine what it was like back in the 50s. But anyways, you know, I got off the phone with Tom this morning, went in the kitchen for something. I go to sit down and watch TV. I usually watch the news in the morning, want to see what's going on in the world. And I look out the window and across the street from me is a certain establishment. Sells burritos and tacos and stuff like that. And they have some picnic benches out there for the people to eat, to sit on during the summertime and eat their tacos and stuff like that. And I saw a guy, an old man, sitting sitting down on one of his picnic benches looking right at my house. And that, you know, that, I'm like I said, I'm a natural paranoid person. Remember the thing about being paranoid. It's just an ultra form of awareness. I'm just more aware of what's going on around me than somebody who's not paranoid. So being paranoid is really not a bad thing. Okay? But he's looking right at the house. And I know my front picture window, my big window in the living room there, has that UV tint on it. So I know I can see out and people have a hard time seeing in. And I have shears across the window other than that. And then on top of that, I have drapes. But the drapes were drawn, but the shears weren't. But I could see him. And he's an old man wearing sunglasses. How do I know he's not some government agent who's got some special type of glasses to look through all that and watch me? You know, he's watching my house for about a minute, and he started watching traffic going by and this and that. And he's an older man. He gets up and he starts walking away, starts walking east on 26th Street here. Ooh, I just gave where I live. Or maybe I live at 31st Street. Or maybe I live on Cermak Road, 22nd Street. Fuck, I don't know where I live, man. This isn't my town. I'm just house-sitting. House-sitting an empty house. I'm a homeless person with a home. But I watch this guy. He gets up and he starts walking away. And if, you know, he could be an old man just resting. But I instantly locked on this guy. And it seems like when I got up off my chair, and I didn't walk straight towards the gap in my drapes there. I kind of walked to where my drapes were still drawn across the window, and I peeked from behind my drapes, but I didn't part the shears. I'm still looking through the shears, and it seems like that's when he got up and started walking away. Very peculiar. Very peculiar. And how your enemies will approach you, they will approach you with the type of people that you look past in normal society. Someone jogging. They're not always going to follow you right behind you. They'll parallel your movement. They could be riding right alongside you on a two-lane highway going east and a two-lane highway going west. They don't have to be right behind you. They could be ahead of you. They will surround you. They will become part of your environment. But I just notice shit like that. I'm always watching, you know? And make it a good practice that when you're driving in your car, your Ghost Wolf car, that's a Trojan horse, you got bumper stickers on the back of your car that have absolutely, that is just the opposite of your worldview. I recommend you do that. And people who know you, see you in a car, make sure you back up that belief system, okay? But I just notice shit like that. So make sure you look at the road 60% of the time, but you watch what's going on in your rear view mirrors and your side view mirrors. It's good practice, okay? So, remember, we have the ability to build a utopia on this planet. The white race does, but we don't because of Wall Street greed, sellout whites, and we need to deal with them. You know, I was walking around yesterday, and I noticed this apartment complex. And, you know, it is an old apartment complex. You know, the buildings were built back in the 20s. I just love looking at the architecture of buildings that were built back then. You know, it's just great stuff. But I noticed they had a sign on there that this property is under CCTV surveillance. I thought that was great. Thanks for warning me, because I couldn't, because when I saw that sign, I started looking around for the cameras with casual confidence. I'm like, fuck, I can't see the cameras. Maybe that sign's a ruse to keep people from doing stuff like that. But I appreciate that sign there, because that's going to remind me, hey, uncharacteristic, nondescript clothing, never look up towards the roofs of the fucking place so you don't get caught on a camera. Most likely the cameras are not going to be on the ground level. No, we'd be looking down most of the time, okay? I saw a documentary about a motorcycle gang last night called the Pagans. They're mainly based out of the northeastern part of the country, Pennsylvania mainly, Philadelphia, I guess their headquarters. But their symbol on the back of their colors is, I'd never heard of this, but they said it's the Norse god of hell called Sutar. And Sutar sits low lower than the other gods. And the other gods think that they could take him, they could whip his ass. But I guess he plays this as a ruse, and then he rises up and he beats the hell out of him with his fire stick. I've never heard of Sutar. I mean, you guys that know Norse mythology out there, you know, confirm that, because I've never heard that before, but that is very interesting, especially his tactics. So, I guess that's all I have for today. I always forget how much time I have left, but, you know, I really hope, you know, talking to Tom Metzger, I felt better after talking to him. Say, hey, listen, we're just watchmen on the wall. You're just doing your part. If nothing happens, at least you can say you've done your part. And I felt better after hearing those words, because I've been getting really depressed lately. I just see our race just taking it on the fucking chin. And maybe it's because I live in Mudsville. I don't know, but I hope you guys are training in martial arts. I hope you guys are putting this stuff that I'm talking about into practice, researching it, memorizing it, memorize all this stuff, listen to the old shows, not for me, but for you. And when you start talking about this stuff, when you start building cells, and they start saying, hey, Joe, man, where'd you come up with this stuff? It's, hey, man, it's just stuff I was thinking of. I claim no copyright, okay? I just want to know that when I go to my grave that I did everything I could for the survival of my race. And we must secure the existence of our people in the future for white children. Become the bringer des blutes, the bringer of blood. Become the disciple of Occidental mayhem, doom. And fight for your race, okay? No more chicken shit tactics. Carpe noctem. And seize the night. I stand in the shadows when it is dark. I watch the apartment across the street waiting for my mark. I see a figure emerge as she walks out the door. Time for me to terminate this nigger-loving whore. I keep my distance but not too far behind. It's judgment night for her filthy kind. I choose my spot, there's no one else around. In my blitz attack, she's knocked to the ground. Our eyes lock. She's in horrified shock. She sees the business end of my black metal Glock. Two to the chest, one to the head. I feel no remorse for a traitor that's dead. We ghost wolves won't go quietly into the night. We're driven mad by the fact of our racial plight. It's genocide. The Jews want us to die. Since death comes to all, I think I'll let bullets fly. I display the body as a ghost wolf warning. Society sees my work in the first light of morning. I won't prostrate myself before a world of shit. My body count is something they won't soon forget. I'm a law unto myself, displayed by my will. You cross the Rubicon the first time you kill. I am the walking dead. I feel no emotions. I hope to inspire brothers across the Atlantic Ocean. I knock on the door of her boyfriend's lair. A black voice on the other side says, who's there? It's FedEx, sir. I have a package for you. When he opened up the door, I said, your time is through. Bringer des blutes. Carpe noctem. And 14.
Your party hung up. Please enter the phone number.